Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to another broadcast of Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. And we have been broadcasting now for just about over 4 years, almost 4.5 years. So we've had hundreds of programs, many wonderful guests. We want to give praise and glory to God today for this great opportunity to tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is salvation. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. And though your sins be as scarlet, you can be washed white as snow. So it doesn't matter what you did in the past. When you're born again, all that is forgiven. And we don't have a past in Jesus because our past has been wiped away. And that's what it means to be born again. It's not being baptized when you're a baby or like some false religious systems try to tell you. But being born again with the Spirit of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you ask Him to come into your life and to change your life and you repent of your sins, your old life is passed away and you begin a brand new life in Jesus Christ. So there is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So to those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that's important. But anyway, we want to thank God for our new life in Christ, that we don't have to work our way to heaven. We don't have to say penance and pray on rosary beads and beat ourselves and you know, come back as a duck or whatever, you know, reincarnation. We pass through this life one time, and we hope that we can leave something behind that can help someone along the way. And I don't know how long it will last that we can use the internet and we can archive our programs for anyone in the world to tune in and to hear the gospel the way it should be preached freely. And we try to study to show ourselves approved to bring a message of hope and reconciliation in Jesus Christ. So I've got some scriptures that I prepared today, and I just want to remind you that next week my guest will be Jackie Alnor, and we will be talking. Jackie is a former Roman Catholic. I was raised Catholic myself. I'm not Catholic anymore. Thank God I escaped when I was about 12 years old when I realized that there was something wrong with this so-called religion and something wrong with a God that really couldn't do anything for me. He couldn't save me, couldn't heal me. So it took me many years to really find out who God was and who Jesus was. I was about 30 years old when I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and realized that Jesus is a real person. He doesn't live in a box, in a chalice, on an altar. And nobody killed him. He came to die. So anyway, next week we will be discussing the beliefs of the Catholic Church in the end times and Does the Catholic Church believe that this Pope Francis is the Pope of the Malachi prophecy? So it will be interesting because we're both former Catholics, so we have insight into what they believe, what we were taught. Of course, I went to a Catholic school from grade 2 till 8, so I was thoroughly indoctrinated into the belief system. And it takes a long time, really, to get some of that foolishness out of your head. We never read the Bible, so I didn't know anything really about the Bible. And the funny part, now when I went to Catholic school, it was in the 1950s, so that's a long time ago. But they didn't even say, when you went to church, the service wasn't in English, so we didn't even know what they were talking about. Imagine going to church once a week or every day, and you don't have any clue what they're talking about because it's in another language. So talk about the dark ages. It was pretty dark. And but in all the years that I was there in the Catholic school, we never once opened the Bible. We were taught, had a catechism lesson every day in the morning, and we would stand in front of a statue of Michael the Archangel, who had a sword in his hand, and he was stepping on the head of Satan, and we would stand in front of this statue and sing songs before we went into our classrooms. But it was an experience. The other day I happened to turn on the Catholic channel that they have on television. They actually have their own network now. And there was a priest on there, and someone was interviewing him, and they were talking about the Eucharist. Now, Catholics believe that if you've ever been in a Catholic church, you'll go inside and there's an altar, and then on top of the altar is a little tabernacle. And inside that tabernacle is a golden chalice. And inside that golden chalice is bread and wine. And they actually believe that, or a wafer and wine, they actually believe that Jesus Christ himself comes down from heaven and he lives in this wafer. Now, you have to be a little simple, excuse me, but please, to believe that Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, magically comes down from heaven, and he lives in millions of church buildings on top of altars in this tabernacle in a wafer. Now, that is hard for most of us to grasp that have had our minds renewed by the Word of God and been born again. But there's actually millions and maybe a billion people that believe this. So anyway, he was asking, oh, we can't, the host of the show that was interviewing this priest said, we have to be very careful about the Eucharist, and we keep it under lock and key. Now imagine that they are able themselves to keep Jesus Christ under lock and key in a little box on an altar and a chalice in a wafer. Now, you know, if you really stop and think about it, it is ridiculous. How do they get people to believe this stuff? The main reason that you might believe something like this, or somebody else could convince you to believe something like this, would be that you don't open your Bible. So everybody, there isn't any excuse for it. Everybody can get a Bible somewhere. Maybe there are some people in the world, in some areas of the world, that have never seen a Bible. That's possible, but not in this country, not in the United States of America. Everybody can have a Bible. So if you're not opening your Bible and reading it and renewing your mind with the Word of God, then you can fall for just about anything that comes your way, including Jesus Christ himself living in a wafer. And then not only that, but then they actually believe that when they eat this wafer, they are eating Jesus. So give me a break, please. Stop it already. Enough. We saw this past week that this new Pope Francis was nominated Man of the Year. Now, if you look on the page on my show page, and you'll see a picture of this Pope Benedict sitting on a golden throne. Now, they actually want you to believe, and Pope Francis wants you to believe that he is trying to turn over a new leaf in the Catholic Church, and they are going to try to do more to help the poor, and they really care. Well, in case you haven't seen Vatican City, I've been there. I've seen it. I was in Rome. I saw all the artwork that they had there, all the gold, these magnificent buildings, priceless artwork. Now, they have a whole football field full of priceless artwork in a basement underneath the Vatican. If you notice the costumes that the Pope wears, and they're all tailor-made to perfection. They're laden with a gold thread and jewels, and they drink out of these cups that are made encrusted with diamonds and jewels. And there's also, I think, this palace that they have there at the Vatican Palace. And they have their own bank, by the way, so I don't know anybody that has a bank that's in the ministry. But so they have I think this palace is like 1,000 rooms or 10,000 rooms. So if they were so concerned about the poor, and they want to mislead you, they want to make you think they care about the poor and the needy, but I don't see them emptying out that warehouse full of priceless artwork. The Vatican Library itself, which you can't have access to, they have a magnificent collection of manuscripts and letters, letters from Henry VIII, and priceless objects. I don't see them auctioning those things off to feed the poor of the world. So it's a smokescreen. And the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, I am one that believes in personal accountability. I think that, okay, yeah, it's nice to have a feeding program. It's nice to help people. But did you ever notice that sometimes when you start helping someone, they become dependent on you? And then they don't have any initiative to go out and do anything for themselves. So, and they won't leave you alone. It's like, that's why the Bible says to give your alms in secret. It's better to give your alms in secret so then the person that you're giving it to won't be dependent on you. And I've noticed that you can help someone and then they don't care about helping themselves. They'll stay in the same mess they're in. And I believe that churches should have programs for people, but you have to make them accountable themselves to get a job, to take care of their own children, to try to get themselves on their feet, because you can drive people crazy with your problems, and then you don't want to do anything about it. So I don't think that we should just give everything away that we have, and then you're left with nothing. I've seen that happen to people where they give all their money away to these crazy TV preachers, and then they have nothing left. They don't have a house to live in. They don't have a car to drive. They don't have food. They have nothing left. Then they're in a real big mess. So the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And that's very true. You won't. So it's okay to help a brother or a sister in need, but the best way to help them is to help them get a job, go to college, get a career. Look, you can go to any library and you can get a free education. You can go to college for free because there's huge, thick books full of grants and scholarships, probably billions of dollars that have been set aside by people. But you have to work to get it. You'll have to go to the library. You'll have to do the research on these grants and on these scholarships. And you can find money there. Apply for these things. Even at some of the schools, they'll tell you search the internet. And you can go to college and you can better your life. You can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we have to make the best of what we have, and God's given us all talents and abilities. Mine are different than yours, but God can give you ideas. There's so many ways that we can help ourselves to have a better life without having to be a burden to somebody else. So anyway, I don't see why they would name this man Man of the Year. It's a smokescreen. I don't see them, like I said, selling all their, or even, and I know I've said this before on the program, but even in my community here, the county that I live in, there's probably, I would say, 6 or 7 Catholic churches, and the property and the buildings on for each of them are at least $1 million, maybe more. So that's the real estate holdings just in my county is probably $5 to $8 million. So imagine the wealth of the Catholic Church in real estate alone, and then they're actually asking you to bring your canned goods. Please, give me a break. I mean, you know, it's outrageous. Outrageous. It's just like the churches that want to collect their 10%. They want to collect their 10%, and then the only person that's getting blessed is the pastor. He's got a brand new car. He's got a Rolex watch. He's got a plane. And meanwhile, the people in the congregation are struggling. So anyway, I want to say hi to my brother Vincent. Hi, Brother Vincent in the chat room. God bless you. Thanks for stopping by today. And remember, this is a live call-in program, so if you have anything you'd like to say, please call in. It's 914-338-1638. Now, I wanted to go over a few items, other items that were in the news this week. And there was a pastor, a former pastor, actually from Orlando, Isaac Hunter. Now, this is a real tragedy because here's a beautiful 35-year-old man, and he committed suicide. Now, what would drive a young man that had the world going for him, really? He pastored this large church. They say there was over 5,000 people. He had to step down a year ago because he was committing adultery with someone in the church. So he stepped down. His wife filed for divorce. So he basically lost his church, lost his family, and he committed suicide about a week ago. What would drive someone to do that? and to be in the depths of despair where he took a gun and killed himself. A horrible tragedy. But they say he was having mental problems. Now, anybody that's been through a divorce or going through a divorce or you've been through a breakup, you know how devastating that can be to your emotions. It's very hard to pick up the pieces when there's a break, especially in a marriage. So here's this young man, so depressed, and now the family has to live with the fact that maybe we could have done something more for him. Why didn't we do more, and how did we miss it? How did we miss the signs? But let me tell you something. Mental illness is a real disease. It's real. In case some of you don't know people that are mentally ill, I have seen people that are schizophrenic. I have seen people that are mentally ill. And sometimes these people need to be institutionalized for their own protection and for the protection of others, because we see it, especially with the, we see with mass killings, people say, well, they were on drugs for mental illness. They were having problems, and nobody wants to face reality and admit there's a problem. And then why aren't these people institutionalized where they could be watched? There's a problem. You know, this man didn't have to die. He didn't have to kill himself. It's a tragedy. He left behind three young children that have to be without their father. So it's not the worst thing in the world to have someone in a hospital until they are improving. And if they're not improving, then they need to stay in the hospital. I had a friend that had a brother that was mentally ill, and the mother felt sorry for him. He was probably in his 20s or 30s, I'm not sure. He was already older. And she felt sorry for him, and she took him back in the house after he had been institutionalized. And then he murdered his mother. So sometimes it is the wisdom of God to have the person placed in a hospital. It's just like Rick Warren's son. His son had a gun, and they knew he had a gun. Now, what was he doing with a gun when he was mentally ill and he was suicidal? Why wasn't he in an institution? They have to, and it's painful, okay? I have compassion for them. No one wants to lose a child through suicide. But for anybody out there that's listening, and if you have a relative or someone that is schizophrenic and they do have problems, then get them some help. Until they get healed, until they get saved, they need help, because you don't know what could happen. And then you have to live with the fact that you didn't do all you could do for the person. Just imagine some of these parents that have to live with the fact that their child went and took a gun and went into a school and started shooting people up when they knew the child was mentally ill. And you're not doing the person a favor by not getting them some help. You're not. So as Christians, we have to be wise and take advantage of what's out there for the time being. It's just like when you have a headache, don't you take an aspirin? You take an aspirin and the headache goes away. I don't know why. It's like the aspirin is a miracle drug or something. Or if you need to pick me up, you take some B vitamins and you feel better. So there's things out there. I'm not a big promoter of pharmaceuticals. But I think that when it's necessary, we have to use what's out there and continue to pray for the person, to continue to believe God for their healing. But I don't want to see any more tragedies like this. So you might know someone that's suicidal, but that's the time to reach out and to minister to that person, because somebody could have maybe reached this young man, this Isaac Hunter. Even that morning when he killed himself, he had texted his brother saying something about suicide. And his brother called the police, but by the time the police got there, it was too late. So, just a real tragedy. You can see the story if you go on the internet and do the search for Isaac Hunter. And his church was the Summit Church in Orlando. I don't know that much about that church. I think it was like an emergent church or a seeker-friendly church, one of those kind of churches. But it could happen to anyone. I think Oral Roberts' son committed suicide, one of his sons. And these things happen, even in the best of families. So if you know somebody that's hurting today, reach out to them. Spend some time on the phone with them. And you never know. You might be that person that could really help them. I know that a couple weeks ago I had talked to some people in ministry in my local area about ministering to somebody that I know that could really use some ministry, and they didn't even offer really to reach out. I was surprised. I think to myself, like, what? Why do you go to church? Why do you even bother to be in a ministry when somebody needs ministry, you're too busy? So that's the state of the church today, though, is that you know, we don't have time. Well, take time to call a friend. I don't know what I would do without my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ when I need someone to talk to and I need some counseling myself, and God blesses me with wonderful friends that can give me godly counsel, and they can see things that I don't see. And I thank God for the saints of God and for the body of Christ, because we can't do without each other. We need each other. Let's look at a few scriptures here. About the mind. I'm going to read these scriptures to you. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. So God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and we won't even remember the old. It won't even come into our mind. Oh, that's a great promise. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So, you know, when somebody makes you angry, and I think we've all been angry. Yeah, there's some people that really know how to push your buttons. So, and then you just want to let them have it. Well, don't tell the devil everything. Don't tell him everything. Only a fool utters all his mind, Proverbs 29:11. You have to learn how to keep some things in. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So if you're going through some kind of a mental turmoil today, keep your mind on him. It's difficult sometimes. I know. I've been there. But you have to just, when you get those bad thoughts and you keep repeating in your mind what somebody did to you, stick some scripture in there. Just say, whatever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Whatever. But try to think on the scripture. Try to think on the good thing, because if you meditate too much on the bad thing, you'll just get angrier, and then you'll act like a fool. And then you just give your enemies more ammunition, right? Yeah. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Okay, search the scripture. You're responsible for searching the scriptures daily and to find out if whatever, who's ever telling you what, if it's so. So you are responsible. Don't blame somebody else because, oh, I backslid because some preacher did something. No, you backslid because of yourself, not because of some preacher. That is ridiculous. Who wants to turn their back on Jesus because of some preacher? That's your fault because you didn't get into the Word of God yourself. You are responsible. We have to get one thing straight, that when we die and we stand before God, He's not going to ask me about Jimmy Swaggart. He's not going to ask me about my mother or my father. He's not going to ask me about Paul Crouch or about TBN. No, He's going to ask me about me. So we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account. And so don't be pointing fingers at somebody else. We're going to have to answer to God for ourselves. So Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh, wow, don't we know that is true? Because our mind wants to do the right thing, right? But our flesh, forget it. We're still dealing with it because we're still in it. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Oh, yes, amen. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind. Remember when we were sinners? We were so carnal. So carnal. And even as Christians, we have a hard time, you know, when somebody does something to you that you don't like and your flesh gets stirred up and you're thinking, well, what can I do? You don't have to listen to me. God said it, and he did say this, so there was a reason he said it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So you can just sit back and watch God take care of your enemies, and He will, because He said it. There was a reason He said it. There was a reason. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renew your mind, and the only way to renew is with the Word of God. Because if you don't read God's Word and you don't renew your mind, then you will be a carnal Christian, and you'll never grow in the things of God, ever. And that's what we should be striving for, is that to know God more and to be more like Him. And the Bible didn't say not to get angry. It said, be ye angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Jesus got angry Himself. He was pretty angry when He went and overturned the money changer's table. So, yeah, you can get angry, but don't let that anger overtake you. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Revelation 17:13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Because, you see, there's people out there and they like to tell you, let's all be one. And no, we're not supposed to be one mind and all have the same opinion about things. We're all different. And you can learn something from me and I can learn something from you. I don't want to be a clone of someone. God gave me a mind and he gave me the power and the ability to think for myself, and I don't want to be a clone. No, God didn't make us that way. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure. Okay, I already read that. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Philemon 1:14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So when you're born again, God writes his law in your heart. We know right from wrong. We know it. We know when we sin. We know when we're doing the wrong thing, unless God's turned you over to a reprobate mind and you don't know right from wrong anymore. And we see it all the time. We see it. You see somebody committing adultery, and when you say to the person, you're committing adultery, they get angry. Oh, they're angry. Well, it's the truth. God's law has not been written in their heart. But as Christians, if we're committing adultery, we know we're sinning. And if you don't know you're sinning, then you're probably not saved. Because the Holy Spirit is the convictor of sin. And we need to be reminded. You know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his convicting power. Where would we be if we didn't have that convicting power of the Holy Ghost? We'd be a bunch of reprobates, that's for sure. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. 1 Peter 4:1, forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Amen. So we're all working it out. None of us have arrived yet. And I was reminded of this scripture because all of us have friends probably from before we were Christians, or even family members that knew you before you were born again. So don't they like to remind you of your past? And I don't have a past, but that old Susan is dead. Old whoever your name is, Michael or Joe, when you're born again, that old person is gone. That person doesn't exist anymore. All the sins that you've committed, they're forgiven, and they're under the blood. And people like to bring up your past and remind you, oh, well, they did it to Jesus, because didn't they say to Jesus, Mark 6:3, Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So, yeah, your family is going to be offended with you. Well, after all, that's just dough. And they said the same thing about Jesus, Matthew 13:55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, they were saying it to Jesus, like, who are you to tell us what to do? You're only the carpenter's son over there. So if they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again, and you're only born again by the confession of your mouth. Confession is made with your mouth unto salvation. You don't have to go into a box and talk to some guy that's behind a curtain to get your sins forgiven. You can go to God directly and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and be born again. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Experience the new birth. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. It's a promise. Nobody can do that for you. No man can do that for you. Only God Almighty himself can do it for you. And the born-again experience is real. It's not something Billy Graham made up or somebody else, some other preacher. It's real. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So your sins are forgiven. Whatever you did in the past is forgiven and forgotten about. And you don't have a past. 2 Peter 1:9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. Now, those are great and precious promises. So we can hold on to that. Isaiah 43:18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. So just remember who you are in Christ. Don't be downtrodden today. Think on the good things of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Don't you remember when you were born again and Jesus Christ came into your life? Remember those days, the first days when we were getting to know him, our first love. Go back to your first love. Remember how it was when you first came to the knowledge of the truth and the scales fell off your eyes and you were able to see. And you didn't have to search anymore. You didn't have to go to this religion and that religion and this guru and that guru or this self-help seminar or whatever. You knew the truth. And the truth set you free. Hallelujah. And so we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We're not in bondage to any other human being. We know where our help comes from, and our help comes from the Lord. God Almighty himself is the only person that can help you. No human being can help you. We can only help so much. But only God is capable of changing a life and making a life brand new, giving beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. We thank God for his great and precious promises, because they are yea and amen. Also in the news this week, we had the death of Nelson Mandela. And I don't really know that much about Nelson Mandela. I haven't done a history on him, or really I haven't spent much time investigating who he was exactly. I know very little about him. There's so much information on the internet, and you kind of have to go through it and glean. I have been to South Africa myself. I spent a month in South Africa and Swaziland touring. I was up and down South Africa from the Cape to the other end and into Swaziland. And now, something interesting about Swaziland is the king there, when I was there, I was in the middle 90s or the early 90s, the king of Swaziland was a young man, and he claimed to be a Christian, but I think he had 9 wives at the time. Now, imagine that. you know, talk about culture shock. That was a little shocking. How do you witness to somebody like that? Then when I was in England, I was invited to a home where there was a Nigerian prince there, and he claimed to be a born-again Christian, and he had 3 wives with him. So talk about a pastor having a dilemma. My friend was his pastor. Okay, which wife is he supposed to take? I guess he's supposed to keep the first one he took, but then he has all these other wives that he has children with. And remember, he's a prince, so he's got some money. And so it was very difficult because what's he supposed to do, abandon all these other women and the children? So in different cultures, different parts of the world, you will experience different situations that you never thought you would experience. I never heard of anything like this until I was over in Africa and over in England. Now, how do you like the fact about that interpreter that they had there? And someone said something that there was the President of the United States on the platform with a man that was supposedly a schizophrenic that had been questioned for murder. Now, where did they get this guy from? How did this happen? And he was signing, but he didn't know anything about sign language. Now, that was really, really odd. I think that was really odd. But I would like to have, and I'm hoping that in the future I do have a brother in the Lord that is from, yeah, creepy interpreter, that is from South Africa. And I would like to have him on my program probably in the new year. But being in South Africa myself now, also, I would like to hear from people that have been to Africa. Now, I haven't been. The only part of Africa I was at was in South Africa and Swaziland, and I was there a month. So I did get to see a lot of the country. I did get to meet the people. And even at that time, let me tell you something, the crime was horrible because South Africa. So I didn't see the difference. I don't know. Brother Vincent, my wife is from Liberia. Well, yeah, she would be interesting. I'd like to do a program one day just to talk to people from Africa to get their perspective of Africa. Because now Africa, they've got great gold reserves. They've got great diamond reserves. They've got great natural resources. Yet for the most part, it's a very underdeveloped country. Now, South Africa was a little bit different. There was tremendous wealth there and tremendous poverty. I can't remember who was in power when I was there, but I was taken to the squatter camps there because people were walking in from other areas of Africa. They were walking into South Africa, and they were just, like if you had an empty lot next to your house, and they would just come and squat on it and just take it over and live there. So now imagine somebody doing that to you. I don't think you would like that. So they would set up these squatter camps, and they would just squat on somebody's land, and before you know it, there could be 10 houses there. They would set up these, take canvas or just take a piece of metal or whatever and some poles and make a house and just squat on your property. I saw it. And then, of course, the natural mind, the natural person is, they see you have something and they want it. They don't realize, look, nobody got things that they didn't work for, even the wealthy. Somebody had to work to get the money that the person inherited, and, you know, unless they went outside to their money tree and picked it off. So anybody that has any kind of a wealth or a house or a car or whatever, guess how they got it? They worked for it. And so you could get the same thing by working for it. You have really, really poor people that see that somebody has something, and so they, how are they going to get it if they're not saved and they don't know Jesus? They're going to steal it. So they have the worst crime in South Africa. People, I have been to many houses there. And they had bars on the windows. If you had sliding glass doors, you had to have, at night, you had to secure it with a sliding door of bars. And they figured out a way to get into your house, though. They figured out ways. I had been staying with the chief of security at Rhema Bible Church in Johannesburg, and he had a cottage on the church property. Which was a massive church, that Rhema church there, Ray McCauley's church. Actually, I was speaking there for their singles group, and I stayed right there on the property with the wonderful family, the security guard. And he told me that during church services, they had to patrol the parking lots because people's cars were being stolen during the church services, broken into and stolen while they were inside the church. And this was back in the early 90s. And we were up one night, and we were, you know, it was about 9 o'clock at night, and he had these sensors around the house that if you walked around the house, the sensor would pick up that somebody was out there. Well, sure enough, somebody was out there, and coming, you know, trying to get, look at, peeking in the windows, and he had to go outside with a rifle and get them to go away. But crime was horrible. The crime was horrible. So I can imagine now in 2013 what it was like. So I don't care who's in power, a white person or a black person or what. It's not going to stop the crime. It's not the only thing that's going to stop all that is to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to change a heart and change a country, not who's the president of the country. So they had numerous problems there, numerous problems. So I think it would be an interesting program to do in the future, is to have people on from Africa and let them talk about it and tell you, people that have lived there, what it is really like. I can only tell you what I saw while I was there, and just in a wonderful people and beautiful country, and great people, great Christian people, I'll tell you, just terrific. But extreme wealth in some areas and extreme poverty, and people had to live behind iron gates and bars and awful, just awful. But, you know, we're starting to see that in this country, the crime. And if somebody thinks you have something that they want, they're going to take it. They just feel like they're entitled. So we're seeing the increase of these things here. But yet we know that we have a job to do, and our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ, because only he can change a life. We can't. Sometimes if you're trying to get somebody to do the right thing and you're trying to tell them they're going to hurt themselves, and the more you tell them, the more they do it. The more they do it. It's that rebellion, and the Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and it is. It's witchcraft. It's horrible. So we can pray for people, and we can ask God to intervene and ask God to protect us, but we have to be preachers of the gospel. Preachers of the gospel, because it's only Jesus Christ that can change a life. It's only Jesus Christ that can change a nation. It's only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that can open our mouths and tell people the good news. Jesus is not coming down to earth right now to preach the gospel. He uses human beings. It all our human frailties, and as kooky as we are sometimes, he uses us. He uses us. John 16:2 says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God's service. And some of us know what it's like to be hated because of our testimony. The people, some of the people, the closest people around you will hate you because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know what Jesus Christ has done for me, how he's changed my life, and he made something beautiful out of my life. And he can do that for you today. He can do it for you. So ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Get down on your knees and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross for your sins so you wouldn't have to die in them. The price has been paid. You don't have to keep trying to pay a price for your sins and do penance and say 500 Hail Marys or whatever, or come back as a bug. No. When your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. And you have a brand new life. And Jesus Christ is a real person. He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven in a body. He's real. He's a real person. You can talk to him, have a relationship with him. So I hope that you were blessed today. I hope that you will ask Jesus Christ into your life and experience the new birth. Get yourself a Bible. Read the Bible. You can start at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get that Word of God into you, and you will be a new creation. You will. I'm telling you. It's the most wonderful life to know God, and to most of all to know that my sins are forgiven and that I have a home in heaven. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. I want to thank everybody for stopping by today. Brother Vincent, thank you for stopping by. I want to have you on the program real soon. And I would love to talk to your wife, too, about Liberia. That would be so interesting. So God bless you today, everybody. See you next week with Jackie Elnor.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.